Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Talk Media Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter or X at Dr. Dahlia, Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show, or on YouTube, click like and subscribe. So we've spoken a lot about Medicare and how many doctors aren't taking it anymore. And many patients are finding that their doctor is retiring early or just going into VIP or concierge or direct primary care. And we have a growing population of individuals who need Medicare, and we don't have enough doctors, and it's getting worse year by year. I am extremely excited to introduce our next guest, Dr. Wayne Weingarten. He is PhD and Senior Fellow in Business and Economics, Pacific Research Institute, as well as the Director of PRI's Center for Medical Economics and Innovation. Dr. Weingarten, we really appreciate you being on with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
Great. So, yes, there's Medicare needs a lot of work. Talk to us about what you're seeing.
Yeah, Medicare does need a lot of work, and it needs a lot of work far outside of what we just looked at. But I think something that's really important that's going on is this kind of forcing doctors out of practice and doing it by just kind of allowing inflation to erode their income, which is a form of price control. And so that was something we wanted to look into, especially when you look at the parallels between what's happening in Medicare and other kind of fully socialized healthcare systems. And so we wanted to look at what's the compensation that Medicare is paying and what's been happening with it. And when you look over decades, even what you really see is that Medicare's got thousands of lines of any type of medical procedure or treatment you may need. They've got their how much they're going to pay you for it, and they've been allowing inflation to erode the value of it.
So true.
Which means that doctors' incomes are going down.
It is, and I am so grateful that you've published a report on how current Medicare policy is negatively impacting the primary care providers. And so, price controls, that's been very, very controversial. Talk to us about price controls, because people will say, but look, it works in Europe. It works, socialized medicine works. We need single payer. Yet they don't understand Medicare is a different beast.
Well, price controls always, they always come with a cost. And it's not just healthcare. If you do price controls on apartments, right, rent control, you end up with shortages of housing and you end up with decrepit housing. I mean, look at New York City, where they talk about pre-war buildings. I mean, it's just, it's something that's inevitable. And we're actually seeing it in the UK and in Canada with fully socialized systems where people have a lot less access to doctors. So the amount of doctors per 10,000 people in the UK is well below the OECD average. You know, like a quarter of the Canadian population, that they don't have actual primary care physicians. They just can't access it. And we're beginning to see those same things happening here, especially in Medicare, where if you're trying to be a new Medicare patient, doctors are consistently saying, we're not taking new Medicare patients, not because they don't care, but because they just don't have the capacity. If they bring them on, they're in effect undermining the viability of their own business. And it's also why we see so many doctors' practices, part of the reason, consolidating into hospitals or larger practices, because it's just no longer economical to have that traditional family practice, and that's a real loss. So what you have is that price control has consequences. Sometimes it's unseen. It's these mergers that you didn't expect, but they always have consequences.
Absolutely. So how does Medicare come up with these rates where they pay 45 or 55, or they were giving me 12 cents for a flu shot? How do they set these rates?
That's a really good question. And I think what's problematic, it's a bureaucracy. Bureaucracies take on a logical baron. And so that's in effect what's happened. You have all of those items, and there's not a rhyme or reason. There's not a connection to value or anything of those things. You end up with the flag is kind of put into the ground somewhere, and then you let it grow. And when it's been growing for decades, below inflation, you no longer have a meaningful price. Right? When you're talking about 12 cents for flu reimbursement, is that really the value that the doctor is providing when they're right. administering a flu vaccine? I mean, so there's no longer, and that's the big problem, there's no longer a connection between the prices that Medicare is paying and the value of the service that's being provided. And without that connection, you're not going to end up with an efficient system. You're not going to incentivize innovations. I mean, there's a lot of brilliant doctors out there who got into medicine to practice medicine, not to fill out forms for insurers, that can come up with all sorts of ways of providing better care more efficiently, but the system is just inhibiting them from doing that.
Absolutely. We're speaking to Dr. Wayne Weingarten, Senior Fellow of Business and Economics at Pacific Research Institute. So what are the next steps? How do we fix this?
Well, you know, Medicare needs fixes, and that's a much larger issue than what we were talking about here. I mean, I think if you go to the first law of holes, right? The first law of holes, if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. I think so, you know, applying that, the first thing we need to do is stop allowing inflation to erode away doctors' incomes. It's unconscionable that inflation eroded away anyone's income. It's why we benchmark Social Security payments to inflation. So we should be benchmarking Medicare reimbursement rates. You know, you just take them as they are now and don't allow them to grow any less than what the cost of running a practice is. And that way, so that we can stop all future erosions of income because of inflation. And then I think what we need to do is really improve the program we have that's trying to incentivize value-based care, that's trying to make things more productive, but it's bureaucratic. It's you know, thousands of hours doctors have to spend trying to kind of comply with the program. We need to fix that. We need to incentivize doctors so that when they're pursuing value-based better care, and especially when they can do that for less cost, that they're incentivized for doing that. So we can get a more innovative system, because, like I said, there's a lot of great out. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, right? But you know, there's so many brilliant ones out there that have so many good ideas, and we need to empower them so that we can get a better quality system that's more affordable.
But also with your background too, I mean, this is what we need. We need some of the best minds on this. That right now patients are losing their doctor because their doctor is either going under or they're working for a corporation. And when the patient does, or the patients are going to telehealth, so the doctor is sitting there with an empty clinic because the patients are using telemedicine and then only coming to them when things are more severe. And it's we've really lost the whole arc that family medicine, and I'm a family medicine doctor, you know, would offer. And so it's one of these vicious cycles, and I don't think it's going to be reversed anytime soon. I think, especially now with weight loss drugs and the cost of expensive medications, I think Medicare, if it's not being run right, is going to, one, be defunct, and two, it's going to start rationing, and they're going to ration. It's going to hurt patients and providers, and I don't think they're going to reimburse doctors more.
No, they're not, and they're going to keep driving doctors out of that, you know, that family practice that a lot of people prefer, but it's becoming more and more uneconomical, especially, you got to remember, demographically, more and more people are going to be now in Medicare. So its impact on doctors is going to go up.
So, Dr. Weingarten, in the last minute or so, what would you recommend are the next steps?
Well, I think the first next step is we got to start stopping Medicare from allowing inflation to erode away their income. So we need to index the reimbursement rates in Medicare to the cost of running a practice. So that way, we're no longer allowing inflation to erode away. And then we need to start putting in some real programs that incentivize innovation, because you know that's how we're going to save the family practice, by allowing them to become kind of more effective value-based care, rather than focusing on this fee-for-service model that continues to promote quantity over quality.
Absolutely. How can my listeners find out more information?
If you can go to our websites for Pacific Research Institute at pacificresearch.org, or the Center for Medical Economics and Innovation at medecon.org.
Love it. Dr. Weingarten, can't wait to have you back. This has been so helpful, and we appreciate you being such an advocate for patients and doctors.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much, and can't wait to come back.
Anytime. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. I got to tell you, I know it's rough. I know many of you, you were seeing a doctor, they were taking Medicare, either they're not taking it anymore, or it's, you know, and I understand a lot of times people don't want to hear that, you know, well, doctors aren't getting paid, boo-hoo. But if a doctor can't pay their bills and keep the practice open, you lose access to that doctor. So it does hurt all of us. 1-877-DOC-DALI, don't go away.